Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. My name is Devanant Laksing, Chair of the Technology Task Force. For this Monday, the 19th of November 2012 at 16:08 UTC. On the agenda today, we're going to be reviewing the at-large social media strategy. There were several comments received from the presentation given at the ICANN Toronto meeting. After reviewing the comments made, we'll look at the technology workspace. I've done one of the pages there, and you can look at it, you can review it for your thoughts and comments. And finally, we'll then look at some of the ideas for improving the organization of content on the at-large wiki. And then if there's time permits, then perhaps a short update on the Lacroix machine translation issues. And then any other business. Is there anybody wish to add anything to the agenda? Going once, going twice. Okay, actually I do have one item to add to the agenda. I should have added it before. It's regarding the accessibility of ICANN services, and I'll get more into that when we come to that action item. Very well. Can Julia or Sylvia, can you do a roll call, please? Thank you. Hi, Julia, Sylvia?
Yes, sorry.
Hi. Can we do a roll call?
Yes, sure. I'll begin. Yes, sure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the At Large Technology Task Force Working Group on the 19th of November. On the call today, we have Devan and Tesla Kissing, Olivier Crépin-Leblon, Gordon Chilcott, Nirmal Awagal, Titiello Bolinwira. We have apologies from Wilson Abigaba, Juan Manuel Rojas, Yao Viatohun, and Jose Arce. From staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Heidi Ulrich, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Julia. The review of the action items from our last call, which was held just before the Toronto meeting, the two AIs, there was only two action items. One, to contact IT staff to see if the blog posts can be restricted to certain persons. According to Matt, this is indeed the case, yes. So that action item is complete. The second action item is to find out from other users how they have used the tools. This is referring to the social media tools. I have not really fully completed this. I know NoRallo, as part of the outreach program in Toronto, have used a lot of YouTube and Flickr to document their various activities, and actually Glenn McKnight from NoRallo has done, a fantastic job, actually, of highlighting and showcasing the NoRallo activities. I think it's something that I think other relos need to really look at, to designate somebody to capture, you know, video and pictures and so forth, and upload them to YouTube and Flickr so that everybody else can see and listen to the video. So those are the two action items. I did not really have a chance to really check the other relos per se. Nothing to me really stood out, but I remain to be corrected on that. So those were the two action items. And like I said, anybody could, you know, if they want to raise a question, or by all means, feel free to jump in, or of course, raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room. Okay, so the next item, the review of the at-large social media strategy. I posted the link to the presentation that I gave at the Toronto meeting during the Sunday at-large and regional at, I've forgotten the link, the name of the page, but it's the Sunday all-day meeting for at-large. And I received several comments, actually, quite a lot of comments, actually, from participants and attendees. Glenn McKnight suggested adding content from pictures being tagged on Flickr and other social media networks, you know, and also where's the YouTube channel, into the social media strategy. And I have to say, I see no problem with integrating such, you know, photos and so forth. At large already has a YouTube channel, so it should be no problem to, when somebody uploads something to YouTube on the at large channel, the social media networks will then update to point to that new content. Glenn McKnight also talked about something called augmented reality. And this is not really directly a social media strategy, but he talked about the use of this tool called Leia. And what Leia is, it allows you to add digital content to print media. The idea is that when you look at a brochure or pamphlet or whatever, you can use your camera and it recognizes certain pictures on the printed media, on the pamphlet, brochure, whatever, and you know you can hyperlink that to a YouTube video or something like that. So it makes it more interactive. So actually, you know, this is probably something that could be looked at for the brochures apps when we next look at updating the brochures. Glenn was very passionate about this and had showed, he was showing me several times during the Toronto meeting. Let's see, what else was also mentioned? Eduardo Diaz mentioned, is it possible to have the recordings of meetings be presented as podcasts that could be subscribed to rather than having to, you know, hunt for through the at-large wiki to find it. And, well, again, anybody can make some comments, but I think, yes, it will be useful. My only concern is, like, how exactly could this be done? Sergio Salinas Porto talked about the multilingual aspects of it. Is it possible to have these social media accounts in the other languages, at least in the 6 UN languages, so that, you know, persons in other that don't speak English can follow the activities of at large. So this is also, I think, desirable, but again, I have little concerns about the scaling of such multiple at-large social media accounts. But I'll open the floor to that afterwards. And I think, what was the other other comments made? Well, there's a comment that, you know, that perhaps this social media strategy will bring, I think the word was riffraff was used, and not serious persons. With the social media strategy. And, my comment to that at the time was that, well, we need to make the effort to try to reach as much persons outside of at-large to make them aware of the at-large activities in order to get new people in. And I think, one more thing. Glenn talked about the possibility of creating mobile applications as part of the social media strategies so that persons can then download an application on their phone and then be able to use that to either follow or at least be in at-large activities. Okay, so I think I've summarized the key points made, that was the comments made. Any initial comments or thoughts? I'll open the floor to the persons. Gordon, please go ahead.
Thanks, Dev. Crossed my mind when you were going through your summary. One of these, of course, is the fact that as much as we introduce ourselves on the social media engines that are out there, it's going to be difficult to get people to come to see us in these environments unsolicited. Even in my own organization, there's a number of people who don't even know for sure what ICANN is. So one of the things we might want to do is to seek some coordination effort with our new communications executive within ICANN.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the mobile applications. For most of these engines, mobile applications are available. But perhaps we need to have some mobile available shortcuts to get us in there. Again, it's a question of introducing ICANN.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Gordon. TT, please go ahead. Mm-hmm. You may be muted, TT. Star 7 to unmute. Still can't, TT, we still can't hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, but I see you have some, TT, I see this post typed in the chat. This is David now, sorry. TT has posted in the chat. So while she sorts out the audio problems, the comments that podcast will be a useful platform, but in practice requires personnel dedicated to it at the very least. And regarding riffraff, they are here in different guises already. We need them inclusive less. Yes, it meets undesired elements, but we should be driven by. I'm sure that last part. Okay. Well, Gordon, to answer your question, Gordon, regarding having the material ready to be shown or made available to those new persons in at large, I mean, there's quite a lot of. There's a lot of material already published, you know, the beginner's guides to participating in at-large, beginner's guides to participating in, and there's, you know, beginner guides to domain names and then IP addresses. So we have some of the core material about, at least some of it, maybe not all of it, some of the material already available. I think what probably needs to happen is that, well, and this is probably something that needs to be worked out by the at-large outreach strategy, what further materials need to be brought in, or what document could be used to tie all of these things together in one easy-to-use form. That's my comment. So perhaps you could need to work more closely with the at-large outreach working group that was created at the Toronto meeting to work better on this. The thing with mobile applications, I guess my question is, I guess my concern with mobile application is this. If a person is not aware of ICANN at large and so forth, how would they be made aware of the mobile application to then download, to be made more aware of at large? You know, it's a kind of a chicken and egg situation there. I wonder, so that's just my one observation about it. I don't know whether a mobile application, trying to work to develop a mobile application could work. Only perhaps if it could somehow encapsulate a mobile application that encapsulate what is ICANN and so forth, what does it do, how do you participate, maybe that could work. And indeed, Gordon, what you said about working with Sally Costerton of the new communications team at ICANN, maybe this is something ICANN needs to do. I don't know. I'm not sure if the ICANN. I'm not sure if this working group can do it on its own. Let's see. I think also TTS now could also continue to post on the chat. Okay, and TT is just commenting that on social media platforms, you need to be strategic and identify which will be most useful. And indeed, the Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook, they're the lowest reaching fruit in terms of the social media platforms. So these are already being targeted as such. Gordon, I see your hand is still raised. Do you have a follow-up question or comment?
Yeah, Dev. Mobile applications, I believe the applications are already there. We kind of need to, we probably need to concentrate a little bit on how to use those. And I want to make notice of an earlier remark about TD's that seemed to me, I hope I'm getting his comment correct here, that one of the things we might want to look a little bit more closely at, again, is platform neutrality. Thanks, Edith.
Okay, and indeed, thanks, Gordon. And I think, yes, you're quite, I think I agree with you there that at least the idea is that by having the social media as a RSS feed, technically, we can use that to export the content to any new platform that we choose to that we choose to publish on. So, for example, Google Plus, if we decide that that's more critical and that's more important. Well, I won't say that more important, but also useful to target. And I guess this is only one question I have also regarding the social media strategy. It's okay. We've done the technology building blocks to make the social media strategy happen. One key question, and perhaps I'll put Olivier on the spot here as the ALAC chair, is who do you think should be the ones to actually drive or actually post to the social media content? Should it be at-large staff only? Should it be, do you think the ALAC needs to possibly designate certain persons like the rapporteur to actually post updates to the at-large social media strategy? I don't know if Olivier wants to jump in on that.
Yeah, thank you, David, Olivier, for the transcript. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. This is Dave. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you, Dev, Olivier. The current system for the social media is that the person who's in charge is Matt. So it is staff at the moment that runs the space. I understand that a lot of the feeds and so on are done automatically. So those are kind of set up. What we really do need is, of course, someone to animate this space. I'm not sure whether we have that much volunteer time to animate the space. It's always a question because, you know, it's great to have volunteers to start with, and then it becomes tedious because you have to do it every day, because you have to keep things up to date, and when the volunteer is gone, then suddenly there happens to be an out-of-date social media page, etc. It's always a concern. When things are out of date, it's sometimes even worse than when they're just missing. So unless you have a plan to have more than one person to be able to deal with the space, we would probably have a staff member for the time being deal with the space. Now, that said, there is also a wider social media strategy that is going to take place in all of ICANN. And we are eagerly awaiting for Sally Costerton to provide us with more information on how things are going to pan out with them. And at the moment, there are no details of the overall strategy given, apart from the My ICANN website, which we have been able to see and which was presented over in Toronto. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Dave. Indeed, and I agree with what you said. The difficulty is to find volunteers and then make sure that those volunteers would be engaged enough to do it. So I think definitely, at least for the short term interim, that perhaps at-large staff could do it. I'm just also concerned with at-large staff having a huge burden of doing multiple things themselves. So I think perhaps this needs to be looked at a little bit more. Perhaps, for example, I wonder if the realists, probably the realist cadet could also get involved. But I guess the problem is, at which point who speaks for the global at large? So my instinct would be that it should be somebody from the ALAC. But that's just my opinion on that. TT has also posted something in the chat here. Regarding, is it too large to share push at large ICANN info, or do we want it to be interactive? At the very first point, TT, the answer is to try to at least disseminate information so that persons can then share it within the at large structure far more easily than, say, just getting an email and, either hoping that you'll forward it to other members in the at-large structure or not. And also, the other issue is to then perhaps make that information aware to other members of the public that are not members of at-large. In terms of making it interactive, this is also going to be a challenge, and I think it comes back to who is going to be manning the social media strategy, because again, I don't think it's a technology issue, it's a workflow person issue. It would be very helpful if the persons would be, as I would see it, persons would be monitoring the social streams, and then if persons are commenting on it, other persons on those platforms could jump in and answer questions, and therefore not, you know, force the staff to be the ones constantly looking at all the different platforms to, answer questions and so forth, because I think then it'll become that'll be time-consuming. I won't say impossible, it's just time-consuming. Okay. One other thing, I know we're spending quite a bit of time on this. The other issue is the multilingual aspect of the social media, possibly having content redistributed in six languages, the six UN languages at least. While I can empathize with the idea of having native content in all the six UN languages, I don't think that it's achievable from a manpower or person power point of view. There are two issues that I see it. well, I call it the scalability issue. You'll be creating multiple at-large social media channels, and while this may make for potentially easier for those native languages to be better understood, communicated, what it's a danger of is that there's a lot of duplication of effort, one, and it just becomes much more harder to broadcast something. What my thinking would be was that the relos could take the content coming from the social media platforms, as they would, I would think, naturally be subscribers to this, and of course, perhaps repost on the and provide a translated version or something of that nature, so that the relos themselves take up the unofficial translation. I should also mention that, again, one of the ideas of using the Confluence Wiki is because by having the translate plugin on the Confluence Wiki, it's, you know, persons can at least go to the article in question, and then at least get a machine translation. Again, I don't know if anybody has any strong feelings on this. So let's see, anybody have any comments? Okay. So I think one of the next steps is to really work with Matt and then decide on, and then begin to test how to actually use the at-large social media strategy. And of course, and see what type of information could be sent out over this platform, and again evaluate and see the results and see whether it's working or whether things need to be adjusted and so forth. Regarding Eduardo's suggestion of having these recordings linked as a podcast, well, I guess that we could put that as an agenda item. I don't know how to solve it at this point. But I guess we should at least list it as an agenda item to see, is this possible to do or not? And let's see, I think those are the two main key action items from the social media strategy. Okay, next agenda item, updating the at-large technology workspace. Now, the idea behind the workspace is to provide easy-to-use content for the regular at-large users to be able to help them understand how to use all the different technology tools that we use in ITAN. I have completed one of the items on the wiki, which is on the web conferencing. And I've tried to at least put some of the key points that I think needs to be included in such a web conferencing, and the main problems end users face when using, trying to understand or to use Adobe Connect. And in fact, even at the recent IGF in Baku, I was helping troubleshoot people that were having problems connecting to their Adobe Connect. So this is my inspiration to document what you need to use Adobe Connect, and talk about how to use Flash and so forth and how to install it. And then talked about the possibilities of using Adobe Connect with a mobile or tablets. And then how to actually but how to actually use Adobe Connect, and talked about, well, what happens, you get during each call, you get a link from the Adobe Connect meeting room, you click on that, and then that opens up. And perhaps I put it in the brackets there, we probably need some screenshots to just walk it through, and or a video to make this more easy to understand. And yes, and I see. So, I know that we have to then look at doing the other data pages, Skype, and so forth. I know Gordon has been starting to do this. So I don't think there's any initial thoughts about this, or is this the right style or the wrong style, or too much admission, too wordy? You know, I'm obviously open to comments on this, because I want to try to template this as much as possible. So, okay, this is the about, introduction, what do you need to use it, and then how to access it. And then those would be the main category headers, and then we fill in the information underneath that. Any quick reactions to this? Going once, going twice, going once. Ah, Gordon, go ahead.
Just a quick one. I've started with Skype, and Bill and I have talked about this a little bit. The only conclusion we've come to is to try this format for a while and see how it goes. We really don't have a hell of a lot of content in there to judge yet.
Yes, I agree. What I probably will do, perhaps after I do some, I realize I made some typos in this page when I'm now looking at it. So once I do that correction, I probably just might post it at large and see, hey, this is what we've done. Any comments? Was this easy enough to understand? And so forth. So that's probably one action item to also to do. Post a link to the web conferencing and see if it's adequate or good enough. And are there other questions that at-large users have about Adobe Connect? So that's probably another action item there. Okay. Well, that's one thing. The item number 6, which is the ideas for improving the organization of the content of the at-large wiki. Okay. And I just put the link there to this. I know some persons have raised in the previous technology task force calls that there's some unhappiness with how the content of the at-large wiki is organized. And I mean, it's a huge challenge, to, obviously, because there's so much volume being generated by at-large. Various working groups, policy development statements, and so forth. So, but I just wanted to have some, what I would like, the idea behind the page is to document the ideas first, then to discuss it, and then work closely with at-large staff to help try to implement it if they agree with it, with these concepts. Because, again, at-large staff are, of course, are very, very busy, and to try for them to try to make these changes is, well, easier said than done. It's a very time-consuming task. And so I just put in the 2 points that have been mentioned in previous calls. Gordon, I see your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dev, this is a kind of a plea. The list of at-large workstations on the page is kind of incomplete. And in particular, in September, I was asked by the chair of Myrello to provide a link to the workspace for this group, which was not easy to dig up and do. He couldn't find it. I got him the link finally, and it's not here. This thing really kind of needs to be updated. If you go to the Norello page, there is a monthly report that is produced, and in the last monthly report that was published, and I believe it was released this morning, this morning was the first time I found it, you will find in there a list of work groups in which members of Norello were involved, and it's a little bit more up-to-date than this one is, and by the way, this work group is listed in there. So as a start, that workspace list really needs to be edited.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. I think, the case is that the content is there, but I agree with you. I think what happens is that the at-large working groups page does, I think, have all of the working groups on this page. And that is, actually, I see Olivier has already posted the link there. At-large policy developments. So, indeed, Olivier, I think that's true. I think that those are the key things, the two pages that are needed are practically vital and so forth. But I guess the comments coming from the first suggestion was that if you look at how the GNSO organizes their working groups, they create a space for the at-large working group spaces, and I think this is what prompted the questions about that. So that, so because you have these at-large workspaces, but they're not quite related to the at-large working groups. There's a relation, but it's not very clear.
Dev, if I can add another comment, Gordon here.
Go ahead, Gordon. Go ahead, Gordon.
One of the things that Garth Bruin noticed in the Norella workspace, and it might be a lesson we can bring here, was the number of clicks that it took to get to anything that was either useful or in particular important. If you have to drill down a great deal, it starts to become inconvenient to the point of, you know, you may as well not bother. And the search engine can sometimes be of limited use as well. So some of the things that it would be interesting to find out what items on this page are visited most frequently, but it might be worthwhile trying to find out what people really need to get at here and making it convenient to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess ultimately, this is the, Gordon, my question is then, okay, and I guess, it's easy to say we want this to be better organized. I think it's easy to say, but of course, the devil's in the details. How do you then organize it to be more efficient? Do you think you could somehow document, like, that one point to say, okay, to reduce the number of sub-levels, I guess is what you're talking about, when you say mouse clicks and so forth, the number of sub-levels you need to get to the working group page, to the, well, whatever content you want to find. I guess that's very, you know, what probably has to be documented in some way, so that we can then see it, and then when we implement it, everybody's clear what we're implementing. Do you follow, Gordon?
Gordon Chilcott here. Yeah, I think I do follow. It might be worthwhile having a look at the current state of the situation by simply documenting what it takes to get to a couple of places first and then see where we are from there.
Actually, that's a good idea. This is Dave. Actually, I think that's a good idea, actually. And then, this is what happens now. In order to find this particular web page, you have to do this, and you count the number of steps it takes, and then we can say, okay, can this, and then suggest a reorganization that reduces this number of steps it takes to, you know, to do this deep dive. Perhaps that's a good idea, I think, and I see Olivia has put a green tick to this. So perhaps, Gordon, I think this is perhaps an action item for us to do, to document some of the steps that it takes takes to find certain things on the at-large wiki. Record the number of steps it takes, and then look at to come up with an organizational solution to reduce the number of clicks or subheadings. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you, David, Olivier, for the transcript. I was just going to suggest that if you do this, and get the results, that you share it with Matt, because, of course, he's been trying to reorganize some of the working space in the wiki. So it's really, really helpful. The other thing I was going to remind everyone is, you know, the website itself, we should treat totally separately to the wiki. We can rearrange the wiki as we are, since this is going to remain. So we do have to do some rearrangements, and certainly reducing the number of clicks to get to pertinent information is really good. With regards to the website, as you know, there is a larger process going on with having it totally redesigned from scratch. That's taken a little bit of a delay due to the changes at high level with the new CEO and the new person in dealing with communications, but I gather that this will gather pace again pretty soon, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Dave. I agree. That's why the idea is to look at the at-large wiki and not the at-large website, you know, as you said. The redesign is underway, which is going to take time, because it is a large task. And of course, we've already talked about in previous calls about our issues with the current at-large website, so we don't need to revisit it here. So I think, Gordon, you have a very good idea. Let's see if we could try to, and maybe make this an action item too. Let's try to take some usage scenarios. I wanted to find this information, and this is what it took for me to get here. And document the steps. And then we can then, once you have that information, we can then say, okay, let's reorganize it so that this happens. And it will be, well, I think obviously the reorganization will make it less clicks, less subheadings, and so forth. So I think that'll be an action item to document some usage scenarios, document the number of steps it takes, and then from there we can then look at figuring out how to reorganize it. Okay, Olivia, I see your hand still raised. Is this a follow-up? Okay, it's not. Excellent. Let's see. Coming up close to the top of the hour here, and we jump back to the agenda. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item number 8. The update on the Lacroix machine translation email issues. I managed to had a chat with David Clausen from IT staff, and I think there's some ideas that's been discussed, and I think would go a long way of improving the Lacroix translation list issues. One of the key things that has to be done, though, is that according to David Clausen from ICANN's IT staff, the Google translation engine can only accept 6,000 characters only one time. And when you have persons that don't use punctuation and so forth, it's very hard to, it's extremely hard to get effective machine translations. One of the things we've discussed is to, there's an email that doesn't match the guidelines, a particular guidelines, and the guidelines have to be developed and posted on the wiki, the intent is to say, well, don't translate the email message, but just simply post to the other list that the email was not translated due to not meeting the proper formatting guidelines or the email list guidelines, and then post a link to the original text. The idea being is that at least somebody, at least the both language communities are aware that a message was posted. What sometimes happens, and which is terrible, which actually is quite terrible, is that the email gets dropped, so that the email gets posted on one list, but is not seen on the other list, and this leads to, a lot of confusion. So that's one thing. A few other things is that, subject line being garbled. I think the consensus is to not translate the subject line at all, and avoid that the issue of mistranslated email subject lines and going in different email threads and so forth, which really makes it very confusing to follow conversations in LacRallo. So one of the LacRallo working groups is actually working to develop the guidelines and come up with sample emails that could be used to educate the LacRallo users about, okay, this is how you need to write the emails, use short sentences, so forth and so forth. And hopefully, once the guidelines are published and the changes are implemented, that I think hopefully the translation would improve from what it is now. Of course, I'll be happy to take any questions on this, but any quick questions or comments? Or okay, good. All right, final item on any other business. This is regarding the accessibility of ICANN services. When the new ICANN, my ICANN website service was launched, I think it got a favorable reception from most people. You know, that okay, it's good that all of this information is being consolidated in one place, and you can get email briefings from all the different communities that you want to subscribe to. Somebody pointed out that that the My ICANN website is not accessible, and by that accessible to screen readers and so forth. So, and I guess it just highlights that, you know, of course, that we at large should, of course, ensure that all of our information is available, is accessible to all the users out there. ICANN has been notified about the My ICANN being not accessible to screen readers and so forth, and I think it's been relayed to their developers on this. But I think we also probably do need to also look at all of our tools that we use, the Adobe Connect, the Wiki and so forth, and see whether are there accessibility issues, and therefore report this to ICANN IT staff so that at least they could, well, if not fix, at least put pressure on the tools that Adobe Connect and so forth, that to improve the accessibility of this of the software, of the technology. So I think perhaps we have to make this a standing item, or perhaps have a web page to document all of this information to see whether is Adobe Connect accessible, Skype, you know, all the various tools that at-large uses. So that's my suggestion to at least note and track this item, to create a web page about the accessibility of all the various tools used by at-large, and do the research, and of course relay any concerns to ICANN regarding any concerns that we discover that this content is not accessible and so forth. I see that TT had also wanted to bring this up, so and I perhaps Olivia also probably wanted to say something on this. So I open the floor, any comments or questions? Sorry. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to take that as acceptance, since I hear no disagreements, to not begin to track this the accessibility of all the ICANN tools that we use, and of course report back to ICANN to if they discover any serious issues. I see Olivia has raised this hand. Go ahead, Olivia.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's Olivia for the transcript. Yes, I think that it is a really opportune moment now to bring this forward to the table when the new CEO has said it is a new season and there are a lot of new things going on. It's particularly important to make sure that accessibility, not only geographical accessibility, but accessibility for people with disabilities is going to be assured. There are a few people that attend ICANN meetings and that have disabilities, whether hearing, whether visual, or whether as far as moving around is concerned. And, you know, physically at meetings, things are really taken care of for them. But it appears that on the websites themselves, that's really not the case. And I had a chat last week with Amadeu Abril y Abril, who, as you might know, has visual impairments. And definitely it's, the websites are not a great help for him at all. And certainly having no ability to make those work with any tools that might help in alleviating the impairment is something that's not acceptable, in my own point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. I think I think many would agree with you, if not everyone. I think yes. So I think as you said, it isn't as far as Nadia said. It is a new season in ICANN, so I think this is indeed an opportune moment to evaluate the tools that we have and again note any accessibility issues from so that'll be another action item to put this up on our agenda as a standing item to check our tools and see which ones are accessible or not and then inform IT staff. I see Olivier, you raised your hand. I think you raised your hand again. Go ahead.
Yes, Dev, it's Olivier again. You mentioned trying to check various tools. I think there might be some tools that are used in order to check for these, for accessibility. And if you do need the help, we can follow up afterwards. You probably know about these already. But if you don't, I can put you in touch with a couple of people who might know. And certainly we had one of our members who has asked, so they probably are using specific tools to make sure that websites are accessible.
Yes. Thank you, Olivier. This is Dave. Yes, indeed. This is probably also another thing that we could also do. Ask that person if, do they agree with the idea? Did it work for them or not? And so forth, we can get some feedback on this. So, I mean, I've read, for example, Adobe Connect. It is accessible to screen readers. So a person who is not able to see can still use the Adobe Connect room to be able to interact with the Adobe Connect. So, for example. So that's just one of the tools that we have. And, of course, again, evaluate all the various tools for accessibility. As you do this over the next few meetings. Okay, top of the hour. I didn't think we would have enough content to actually last the entire hour, so this is good. Any other business, any other questions or comments or thoughts? Leave it to me once, and twice, and twice. Very well, okay. I think trying to think when it will be the next call. I have a feeling, and perhaps I'll make the suggestion that perhaps we probably would not want to have this on the third Sunday next month because that will put it smack dab in the middle of Christmas and so forth. So my suggestion would be that we don't have a meeting in December. I don't know if anybody has any initial thoughts on this. And I see a green tick mark on this from Gordon. So I'll make the suggestion, but I'm tempted to say we can at least work on this, obviously, all of this information offline, outside of the conference calls. And we do have quite a few action items here, so you can, of course, work throughout December. I'm not saying we don't have to work in December, but we can then, hopefully, when we meet again in January 2013, we could, of course, see a lot of progress made on all of these agenda items. Okay, great. I think, with that, I'm not seeing any further comments or questions. I think we can adjourn this call. Thanks to everyone for attending. Thanks again to IT staff, to at-large staff, and have a great day. Thank you all.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.